The gospel this morning is on page 972 in your pew Bible. And it's from Mark chapter 4, verses 24 through 34. And he said to them, "Take heed that you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but to whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, whose presence is evident in the universe and whose spirit guides us, help us to hear and inwardly digest your word, for it is truth and power for life. Amen. In today's text, we find Jesus teaching in parables and calling on his hearers to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. He uses terms of smallness to indicate greatness and magisterial scope. We find a representation of the constant gospel theme, focusing on the least of these being the greatest of these. Here, Jesus likens the kingdom to a person scattering seed on the ground, the smallest of seeds, the mustard seed, which transform and grow to become the largest of plants, which puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. In ancient times, people understood that it was God and not Monsanto that created the seed and made it grow and multiply. In our arrogance, we think we have figured out the genetic sequence of life and can manipulate and patent life, that we and not God are the source and sustainer of life. The text reminds us of the mystery and creative supremacy of God in taking the smallest seed to make the greatest of trees. The Gospel of Mark, the earliest of the Gospels, is imbued with language of the kingdom of God. It starts as a movement that gathers and eventually becomes a global phenomenon of Christianity. Some of the followers of Jesus and others saw the kingdom of God as a geographic location with borders and structures and a monarchical structure. Others, particularly many Hebrews and others under Roman occupation, perceived an anticipated kingdom that would crush the Roman Empire. Many expected it to be a sudden military attack on Rome. Not at all. Instead, the parables redirected the imaging of the kingdom as a reality that would come stealthily. You would wake up one morning and there would be the kingdom present, thriving, growing. And Mark 4 verses 27 and 28 reminds us that a person would sleep and rise night and day and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Could it be that in gentleness and tenderness, in this imagery reveals the inbreaking of the kingdom of God? We hear Jesus and welcome his presence as the one who shapes the new culture of our lives as we follow him as disciples. The text nudges us to see ourselves in the picture. The text asks us, how do you see the kingdom of God? What does it mean to you? To me, the kingdom of God is about endless and boundless possibilities. I hear through a whisper, Lewis, can you embrace it all? Because discipleship does not require a complete and full understanding of the mystery. I am one of the smallest seeds, but my capacity to grow is not limited. I can grasp eternity and be embraced by a loving God as God's mysteries unfold before me. I believe that the authors of the song, Lord, You Have Come to the Lake Shore, got it right. What the song said is this, Lord, You have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only ask me to follow humbly. O Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, kindly smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me, by your side I will seek other seas. Over and over again, Mark tells us that the disciples did not understand the parable, even though they were having private tutorials with Jesus. Nonetheless, what Jesus was saying and doing had a profound impact on their lives. They signed up. They were marching to the Jesus drum as, and its rhythm was a departure from the ordinary. Though they did not understand the message fully, they did not give up on Jesus, and neither did Jesus give up on them. Though the disciples did not grasp the full import of the gospel message, they could not turn back, and their lives would never be the same. Second, part of understanding the kingdom was that it was a process, an unfolding of a new reality. The text tells us the earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. Typically, we hear of this parable as an instruction on faith. You have heard of having faith the size of a mustard seed. But upon closer examination and push, the text invites us to see ourselves as the mustard seed. God calls us to be the mustard seed that would grow expansively and be part of a new spiritual architecture of service and discipleship, to become the greatest of all shrubs and put forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The text nudges us to become a strong tree. It is said that the height of a tree is equal to the depth of its roots. I would submit to you this morning that the only way to stand tall is to grow deep. And so the parable tells us to grow deep in grace. And rooting in matters spiritual. Go deep, discover the mystery, strengthen and anchor yourself in God to withstand the hurricanes and storms that come. And they do come. That tall trees learns how to bend and not break, how to stand tall above the fray, how to grow in grace, how to weather changes, face adversity, despair, and how to dance in the rain and storms of life. God tells us, you are a mighty tree. Something else about the tree. It grows from that tiny mustard seed for a purpose. One of its functions is to provide shelter and nurture for the birds of the air. It does not ask the birds about their plumage, size of their place of origin. Some of the birds may be from the local area, just in need of a moment of rest, whereas others might be on a migratory trek across hemispheric boundaries on life's journey. The tree does not ask them about their orientation or background as a precondition for granting shelter and rest. The tree simply says, come, I will give you rest. The tree stands as a landmark high above the fray, a point of reference, a place of refuge and sanctuary, something like a lighthouse, if you allow me to switch metaphors. A lighthouse, like the tall tree, provides direction, safety, and comfort. A lighthouse not only provides a warning, it also indicates that you are too close to land. I am reminded very much of the Providence Wesleyan Methodist Church built in 1832 in my native land, Barbados. It is said that in ancient time, when travel was largely by sea and small ships and navigation treacherous and perilous, weary crewmen, and especially the captain who had steered the ship by the stars, would have the first sighting of the steeple of my local church. Not of a light, but of a cross. And so the calling is to be that tree, to raise up the cross. The text says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men and women unto me. And so, in being that tree, we can provide comfort for the weary, shelter for the homeless, food for the hungry, and clothing for the naked. Being that tree means we stand for the oppressed, the marginalized, and those at home and abroad who cannot speak for themselves.
the parable calls us to discover our purpose, our mission, and our greatness in Christ. And that no matter how we see ourselves as one person, small with challenges and limited means, God sees us as a mighty tree that is called to greatness. And this is the kingdom of God made real in our midst. What a possibility. What a hope. What a wonder. Amen. Let us now join together in singing the hymn number 694. Would you please stand? Come, ye thankful people, come. God sows seeds of hope and seeds of life. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant you peace and joy this day and until the end of time. And the church said, Amen. Amen.